Hey, are you ready to create reliable revenue and master every detail of your hosting business? If you want to avoid compromising all those hospitality details that you love, but still approach hosting like the business it is, we created a free class just for you. Set aside 45 minutes. We promise it's worth your time. And go watch our value-packed workshop where we go over how to master every detail of your hosting business with our foolproof hosting business mastery method that will help you avoid hosting burnout. Growing, where simply starting your hosting business isn't always easy, but it can be simple. We'll help you avoid the three big mistakes that are keeping you stuck, tired, and overwhelmed as a short-term rental host so that you have a powerful revenue stream you can actually rely on.
If you're ready to take your hosting to the next level, head on over to thanksforvisiting.me/workshop to watch this on-demand training. Or send us a DM on Instagram with the word workshop. We'll send you the link and most likely a video DM. We love those. Again, that's thanksforvisiting.me/workshop.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to another great week. I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are...
Thanks for visiting. We are super pumped to be with you yet another week. Each and every week here on Thanks for Visiting, we share one of you, our listeners, who uses our hashtag on the IG, Instagram, and the hashtag is STR Share Sunday, and that stands for Short-Term Rental Share on Sunday, because on Sundays on our Instagram, we'll share your account with our followers there, but then we also want to give you a big old shout out here on the podcast. So Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing at Spruce Wood Cottage.
Ooh.
Yes.
Sounds fresh.
It does. And they're in Evergreen, Colorado. So
it is fresh.
They're on brand.
Okay.
Let's do it. They are the perfect cozy cottage, they say. Mm. Number one, love this. On their Instagram, they have their logo. And then right away, it says book on Airbnb or book direct. So that is awesome. They're like letting you know right now, hey, we're on Airbnb, but if you want to book direct with us, you can do that here. And then they have their website.
Love that.
Few things I loved about their website, and because I want to talk about the book direct here. Right, like basically on the front page, they have their phone number. You don't see that very often in vacation rentals where you can just get a hold of somebody right off the bat like that. Especially if it's Airbnb, you might not ever get the phone number for your host until really far down the line, and you'll never get the phone number of someone you're just interested in booking their place. So kudos to them for having that phone number available very readily. And so if anybody has any questions, and I think that's just very reassuring for a potential guest right out of the gate that there is a phone number. And they also have like a message pop-up on their website too.
Ooh, fancy.
And you don't see that very often either. So there's two things. It's not so much about their physical listing on the listing site, but I love how they're driving traffic to their book direct site and themselves personally to help get those bookings. So check them out. Go to their Instagram, give them some love, but then also check out their website because I think you could learn a lot from what they're doing.
Do you love how it's like 2021 and we're like, ooh, they've got a phone number on their website?
Hey.
No, but you're not wrong, but it's just like,
well, no,
what is this world we're in? I love it.
Well, it's because it was, you know.
No, absolutely.
You get so used to only doing things through the app. It's kind of that reverse back.
And I will say, listeners, actually, I want to share this really quick before we get into today's episode, is I actually had a situation with a guest and as the plumber said, a really gnarly clog in far deep into the depths of the drain. Anyway, and so we had to displace our guest for the afternoon and they had somewhere to go. So they had a shower and I was fully ready to get a nice hotel for them to do that in. Anyway, I was calling around town. You guys, we live in Columbus, Ohio. It's not like we're in LA or New York. No hotel was answering their phone. Not even like, you know, like you get funneled into like their headquarters, wherever that is, like mm-hmm. a 1-800 number. No one answered. We were on hold. Nettie was there for this for like 20, 30 minutes.
I told her to drive there.
Which I didn't even, we actually had another short-term rental that we just turned with a whole team got in there. We turned it over really fast, let the guests shower in another rental of ours. But so just, we all want to get back to our guests really fast, our potential guests really fast. But, and I don't want us to relax on that, but I just want us all to like realize like, we are crushing it. These hotels need to like get yes, with it.
They were not interested.
They were not interested. Okay. On today's episode, we are super pumped to share an amazing story of a short-term rental business owner. We have Callie, who is a super host from Fredericksburg, Texas, in the beautiful Texas Hill Country. And she's been hosting for a year and a half with her husband, Dan, building 3 short-term rentals. And here's the really unique part. From the ground up, I mean, we're talking sewer, electrical, I mean, foundation, all of there's like nothing there. They made it happen. And it's allowed them and their 2 littles to shift to a lifestyle with more flexibility. And they are so grateful for that. And so we are going to dig into their story today. Callie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We are so excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about, take us back a little bit before the short-term rentals. Where were you in your lives and how the heck did this come to be? Tell us your whole story there.
Okay, so we lived in Houston, middle of the city, big city life, but Dan's parents had a place out in Fredericksburg. So, and we got engaged out here. We got married in the Hill Country. We've always had like a place in our hearts for the Hill Country. And my husband grew up in a small town and kind of always imagined us raising our children that way. And I was, you know, big suburb girl. I've never lived in a small town. 0 country life in me at all. I mean, I love cowboy boots, but, you know, beyond that. And so we had our first daughter. I started staying home. I was a CPA before. I started staying home when we had her in 2018. And my husband was an oil and gas engineer in Houston. It's like half the city works in oil and gas. But and we loved his company and loved his job. And then, but I'd always thought about buying property in Fredericksburg for ourselves long-term because the prices have been going up for years now. There's been a ton of growth. The wine industry out here, I think, is like the fastest growing in the U.S. It's not Napa quality yet, but I think that maybe we could get there one day. So we were kind of concerned that we would eventually be priced out. And so we started looking at land. They were like, maybe we'll just buy a raw piece of land and hang on to it until we know what we're going to do. And then his company sold basically half the company. And so they were offering voluntary packages and we were like, should we take it? Should we not? And we didn't at first. And my husband worked on a team to help the company transition. And then it kind of came up again when his role was over, like, do you want to stay? Do you want to go? So we decided to take the package and then use that cash to start building these rentals. And my in-laws already had a cabin out here. It was very small. And my sister-in-law was living in it at the time. And my in-laws were in it like 4 nights a week. And so I was pregnant at this point with our second. So we were all living together in this cabin.
Oh, wow.
2 bedrooms, 2 baths.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a small loft. So there was at least 1 extra sleeping space. And getting all these off the ground. And since we're outside city limits, we had to put in, you know, our own septic system. And then the electric and the road and do the foundation. And we had a crew kind of helping us with that. And then Dan did a lot of the finish out stuff, like all the plumbing and electric and like the things that are really expensive to hire out. Dan kind of did that stuff himself to save on the cost there, since at this point he wasn't working in his corporate job anymore.
Hey, did you know you were going to build three right out? Because you guys aren't like, hey, let's dip our toe in the water. You're like, let's build like three on this piece of land.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us like, what were the family dinners like or the date nights when you even started to talk about short-term rentals? You gave us a little bit there about like what Fredericksburg means, but where did this Airbnb short-term rental, where did that pop into your head of this might be what we're looking for?
Well, when we knew that we were getting the money from the package, we could finance more than just one.
Gotcha.
Have the cash to do it. And so we figured more would be more lucrative. And we knew that there was kind of a hole in the market. I think that's changed since we started this. There are a lot more modern rentals, but at the time, it seemed like it was like that old world, you know, country style. And so we were looking to do something a little more modern.
Mm-hmm.
And like every weekend, it was a struggle to find a rental out here if you wanted to visit, like especially if you were trying to book last minute. Pretty much as soon as we open up our calendar, the weekends get booked. And so we were like, we'll book the weekends, we'll cover everything. And then once we started it, they were booking a lot more than we expected. And so our plan was always for Dan to go back into corporate life. Like, we didn't sell our house in Houston. It was always sitting there. And they were doing better than expected, and it was more than enough to support us. And so we decided to go ahead and just stay in Fredericksburg full time, which is when we decided to like buy a house out here, sell our house in Houston.
Okay, Callie, do you have any history of your family of real estate rentals? Or is Fredericksburg kind of like, that's why you go there to get into that industry? What was it about running real estate or rentals that like pops into your mind as your next chapter?
I would say no, we've not. I feel like we've tried to be smart about what we've purchased and how to make like the most out of what we've done. But no, we don't have any experience in that. Okay. And then in terms of doing short-term rentals in Fredericksburg, we didn't really know what we would do if we decided to move to Fredericksburg, like down the line. And I was thinking like 5 or 10 years from now, not now.
Yeah.
But because it's a small town and it's very hospitality based. There is a hospital here. So there's some medicine, but there's not oil and gas. Mm-hmm. There's not, I mean, I could be a CPA here, but when we made the decision for me to stay home, that's kind of, I've never had a desire to like jump back into that world. So the short-term rentals have kind of been the decision. Dan is really handy. He's an engineer and he has his professional engineering stamp. So he's able to like stamp plans and figure things out. And so he kind of like watches YouTube, figures out how to do it, and then does it. So he's really handy. He's definitely the driving force for risk taking and making jumps. So,
and we'll get to the risk taking part because you have you brought up something on your onboarding with the podcast that we want to touch on, which we thought was really great. But before we get into that, can you explain to our audience, number one, listeners, Callie, if they wanted to get a sneak peek of what your rentals look like, where can they see that right now if they're not driving?
We're on Instagram at A-Frame Ranch.
Okay.
And then our website's aframeranch.com.
Okay. Can you explain it visually for our listeners too? Like, we know you went modern. Explain to them like why is ranch an important part of the title? And what is the overall vibe of these rentals?
Okay. So they're, you know, your A-frame cabin, which is all the rage right now. Everybody loves an A-frame cabin. And I wouldn't say that Dan and I are, either of us are like particularly trendy or cool at all. I mean, our backgrounds are engineering and accounting. But like we could see that people really appreciated them and like feel nostalgic about A-frames. And so we thought we would do something. And there's not a lot of them in Texas compared to, you know, like snowy climates where right. It makes sense to have them. So that's kind of why we went A-frame. And then we just threw in some more like a cow skull or something to kind of draw in and still keep like the Texas Hill Country. Cause I think that's why people come out here from Austin, Houston, Dallas, like from the bigger cities, is to get that country feel. And so we're kind of in a really good spot. We looked for a while for this land because when we were originally looking, I thought we'd be living in it 10 years from now. And so I wanted to be driving distance from the high school and the middle school for like to make drop-offs easy. Because when we were living with my in-laws, we were 25 minutes from a grocery store.
Oh, wow.
And I don't love that. I don't like love sitting in the car. So but it's also a really great perk for guests now that that's the way that we're using the land because they're only, you know, less than 10 minutes drive from Main Street. But since it's on 17 acres, they feel like then we're out in the country and they can see an armadillo walking by outside and deer running past. And every once in a while, our neighbor's cattle will get loose and, you know, walk past the cabin. So I think that's something I really appreciate, not having grown up in that sort of setting. It's a lot more peaceful and it's beautiful, and especially compared to Houston. I love Houston, but it's not a looker. So getting to come visit Fredericksburg and experience that is really nice.
How far is Fredericksburg from Houston?
From Houston, it's just over 4 hours.
Okay. So you left Houston. You know what I mean? Like would be, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's probably not driving in to go get breakfast.
It's only a little bit over an hour from San Antonio and Austin.
Okay.
So those are both big markets.
Oh, a little over 20. An hour.
Oh, yep. Okay. So you guys, yeah, you have a lot of, it's great though, because you have a lot of metropolitan areas to pull from for weekend or week visitors. Mm-hmm. Now, I know in the beginning, I heard you say, if we have people can come for the weekends, what has that looked like? Are people just coming for the weekends? Has that really surprised you at your occupancy? And who are your guests? Tell us kind of like what's been surprising you since opening these.
I mean, definitely when we were like doing all of our financial planning to see if the numbers made sense, it was planning on weekends to be booked. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, I think we could probably book every weekend was like our thought. And we've never not booked a weekend since we opened, which is great and comforting. And then beyond that, I think that, I mean, we usually have at least an 80% occupancy rate on all of the cabins. And then the smallest one, we have two that are 3-bedroom and one that's 1-bedroom. And the 1-bedroom stays pretty much 100% booked. We'll maybe have a night or two here or there in the middle of the week that doesn't end up getting booked. And so that's been amazing. I'm curious to see now that people are flying again, how that'll affect the numbers, because I think people were looking to get out of the city that's driving distance. And like you said, we're so close to a lot of big cities. And so I do think that might've helped us, but at the same time, I'm hopeful that all of these people that had never visited Fredericksburg before are seeing it. And they're like, oh my gosh, this place is amazing. We've had many people say that, like, we want to come back. We didn't realize that it was here. And so I'm hopeful that just contributes to the growth going forward.
Sure. And I think it will too. I think a lot of people just realized during COVID that driving places, like there's a lot of wonderful places. They didn't have to go to an airport and get on a plane to really travel. And so I think most hosts, hopefully, across the country are going to be able to have that same exact repercussion, which is positive, where it's like, hey, we don't have to take 5 days, 7 days off of work and book flights and, you know, cars and hotel, all of that. We can actually pack our car with some groceries and drive an hour or two and really have a great experience and feel like we got away. So we're hoping that you are going to continue to stay busy just from the people being able to experience that.
And you did all three at the same time. That's right. Right, Callie, you went all in same time.
Yes. So we, like, all the foundations went in at the same time, and like all the infrastructure went in. And then from there, we built out the 1-bedroom first and then finished out the second and third after that, and kind of did like a rolling opening. So the first one opened in November of 2019, like a month before I had our second child. So I was like tiling a bathroom, like very pregnant.
Those pictures have to be amazing. Okay. And do you have any hospitality? I mean, CPA, engineer? I mean, when you were growing up, did you work in hotels, restaurants, anything like that where you're serving people who are paying for an experience? Or was this completely new for you?
I mean, I worked as a waitress for like a summer.
That's a lot of... Hey, listen, don't discount that. But still, listeners, we think is really cool about this is, and we'll get into this next, I think, but you didn't have property management in your background. It doesn't sound like real estate development was in your background. You guys aren't builders, interior designers, and you didn't have any hospitality background either, per se. So,
No. And
I know you said your husband's a decent risk taker, but how about you? And what does this mean for you and how it's going to, and you were having two babies, like, mm-hmm. right? Like you're also into motherhood, which it's not, you know, that's your first time into mother. So Talk to us about that. Like, are you a huge risk taker? And if the answer, whatever that answer is, explain how you've navigated this.
I would say definitely not. I always like fall back on, do y'all do Enneagram stuff? Mm-hmm. So I'm a hardcore six.
Okay.
Like my security and I like my routine. And so all of this has really, really, really like pushed me out of my comfort zone. In my brain, like Dan is, my husband is incredibly smart and I trust him to like make good decisions for our family. And so in my head, I see the numbers when he runs the spreadsheets and I know what he's capable of, but you know, there's still that, yeah, that like leap of faith that you have to take when you're like leaving everything that you've, you know, known. Cause we lived in Houston for 8 years, well, seven years. So that was hard for me to do.
And now, okay, and so how long have you guys been open for business?
So the first one opened in November of 2019.
Okay.
And then the third one was done by the next July. So
in the pandemic, no less, but actually that probably, that may have, as we just chatted about, probably helped a little bit. But so how are you feeling about everything? Do you love your new life? What, tell me about your day to day, especially I know, you know, you take care of your littles. What is that family structure like now?
I think we're really starting to settle into life here. The people are amazing and have been like super welcoming. And so I've been able to get plugged in pretty easily, all things considered. Then there are a bunch of other short-term rental owners here because it's a big business here. And so I've gotten to chat with other people and get tips. And so that's really nice to have that community. But we moved during the big Texas ice freeze in February. So like to start things off, it was terrible. We moved into a 1910 Victorian that did not have HVAC or washer dryer hookups or working plumbing.
Oh my gosh.
So, but I was like insistent because we'd been living with my in-laws off and on for so long. I was like, we're moving in. Like, I want to live in our own house. And so we didn't have HVAC in half the house for like at least a month. And Dan had to like replace every single piece of plumbing while we were here. My mother-in-law was taking my laundry and doing it for me. So we bought this house, going into the STR stuff, we bought this house kind of as an investment because it's in town on an acre, which is a big lot for in town. And it's a really cool old house, like tons of rooms, a lot of potential. So since we've been here, Dan's been working on the house, but it also has a back house where the original well sat on top of. And so we're converting that the back house now into a separate short-term rental. So that'll start hopefully next month.
Oh, wow.
We've kind of had to balance working on our own house and then working on the well house to get that ready to rent. We're working on that. And then we also have a 77 Airstream that we're renovating as well that will be on the back of the property.
So you like to do things in threes. So is there another baby? It's like everything. There's like three A-frames. There's three on this property. It's like,
we're living them for now.
Okay.
Dan's probably going to kick us out once it's done, but he can start renting it.
Yeah. Is Dan doing this all in? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just saying, I need to breathe for a minute. Like we need to stay in this house for at least a year before I'm comfortable living
again. That is fair. Is that a plan to run out Victorian?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have the bug good.
Yeah.
It's there. You've been bit and it's not going to leave you.
Who does all of the guest interactions? Is that you? Is that Dan? Do you have somebody that helps you?
So we manage it. We have a housekeeping team that does all the turnovers for us.
Okay.
But we manage everything else ourselves. I think maybe down the line, once we get a lot more, we're also like in the financing phase of building four more A-frames right now.
Oh, okay.
So just, it's a lot going on. But eventually, we will probably maybe hire a management company, just depending on how things are going, what we want to do next. Dan's always wanted to start a brewery, so like he wants to do that eventually. So
I think that's going to happen. So just brace yourself for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We might eventually have to pass off some duties. Right now, I'm the person that's chatting with everyone. And then if there's like a technical issue, like one of the mini splits is out or something, Dan will do the talking for that since he knows how to.
He's like maintenance in your front desk, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Got it.
That's
got exactly it. Okay. And this is Dan's full-time job now too, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
How is that? But like a lot of people, Sarah and her husband work together, which is completely fascinating to me.
Yes, because I like looked through your Instagram.
So I'm wondering, can you tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because I'm sure that was a huge shift also of, you know, both of you at one point working and then now you're both not working for companies and working for your family business. Like how has that been, that dynamic and that change? Because that's also an enormous change that I don't think people recognize.
Yeah, I really like being around Dan and having him around, but I like to know when he's going to be around and when he's going to be working so that I can like have my expectations for the day. Like, when am I going to have an extra hand with the girls or not? I just like to know. And right. If I know, I'm happy.
Right.
So we've been trying to like build in a routine, and we were really bad about taking time off. So like now we like take off all day Sunday, just our family, and don't work. And that's been a good thing to implement.
When did you start that though? It sounds like that was probably took some time to get to that.
When we moved here.
Okay.
We kind of...
And like you just had to draw some line in the sand, like, hey, we've got to have one day.
Yeah, and I mean, Dan is here all day because he's working in the well house behind our house.
Right.
And my three-year-old is a massive daddy's girl. So if he comes in the middle of the day, she might just start crying as soon as he leaves. And then I have to deal with that. So I'm like, just stay out there as much as possible. Right. We eat every meal together pretty much, which is really nice. And he has always wanted to work for himself down the line so that he has that option to be with the girls, mm-hmm. which is really nice. He likes being with us, which is a good thing.
And you're doing it right now. I mean, down the line is here. It's yeah. You guys are yeah. in it. So what are your future visions for your overall brand? Because you have, you know, the A-Frame Ranches, and then you're going to have this property is the Airstream going to be on that, the Victorian property as well? Is yes. that going to have like a vibe and a feel to it, or are they all going to be separate?
That one will probably, the Airstream will probably be its own thing.
Okay.
But we'll see. We haven't fully decided on that yet.
Okay.
We have taken the Airstream out. We went on a month-long road trip in the fall.
Oh,
in
the Airstream. Nice. And talking about my next question was going to be vacation. So while you can be on the app and you can communicate with guests that way, but was that hard to leave your properties? And do you have anyone who can help you if you and your hubby and the family just want to literally not be tethered to a guest potential reaching out situation?
We still do take vacations, but have to be responsive. We've never just said like, we'll contact so-and-so the whole time. But we do, like our housekeeping team here, we do know of like some handyman type guys that could go, you know, at an hourly rate and like fix things mm-hmm. while we're gone. But I do think that's important because we eventually do want to, like one of the perks of this is that we could do like longer, slow travel. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be able to take advantage of that. But it was a building process, like finding those people, especially because when we started, we weren't full-time in the town that we had our right. rentals in. And so we didn't know people yet. But I mean, as we've gotten more plugged in, we've met more people. And
how have you met how'd you meet your turnover team? Are they a company? Were they recommended? Did you put them together yourself? Talk to us about that.
Dan's aunt has a short-term rental here and she was using them to clean there.
That's awesome. That's mm-hmm. an awesome connection.
So that worked out.
We noticed that you have a lovely Instagram following. Was that, did you work really hard on that or did you have a few influencers? Can you talk to us about how you got the followers that you do on Instagram?
Yeah, definitely influencers, having them come out. At the very beginning, we did like a giveaway with a really big San Antonio influencer and she was amazing. I don't know what I'm doing at all. Like I try to post as often. I like pride myself on a lot of things. I think I'm a really good point person to like give you what to do in town and like make your guides and tell you where to eat and what to do. But like, I'm not good at Instagram, but I'm trying really hard.
I think you're doing a good job.
regularly post and all of that. But yes, she was amazing and kind of kickstarted it. And then we had other companies do giveaways. So the first giveaway was out of our pocket. Mm-hmm. And then from there were other companies that did giveaways out of their pockets. They paid us to have people stay. And so that like increased our following as well.
I know our listeners are going to want to know, like the giveaway, when you say you paid for the giveaway, mm-hmm. would you let us know how that you kind of orchestrated that or what those requests were? Because I know a lot of people ask Sarah and I, hey, an influencer is reaching out, but it's so many different things. Like they want us to pay them to stay, plus give them the stay, plus give it away a stay. Can you go through your experience a little bit with that?
So far, we've not paid anyone to stay.
Okay.
The really big influencer that stayed sold, I think, took a lot of photos when she was here and then sold them to different people and they used them as part of their giveaways.
Gotcha.
I think is how it worked. Okay. It really wasn't anything of my doing.
No, but that's good.
We definitely want to like lean more into the influencers because I do think it is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So pro influencer over here.
How, I mean, you can't really track them unless do people when they look, go to book, they tell you, hey, I saw you on Instagram. Or like, how do you know that besides the follower number on your account, which is great and all, but it's only great if you're making money from that. So how do you know what's working? Share that with our listeners.
I think we have had people say, oh, I've been following you on Instagram and I'm really excited to check it out. So yes, that does happen. I think a lot of our business is still just coming through the Airbnb platform itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, like, if we have a last minute cancellation, I can post on our Instagram account and then it gets booked pretty quickly usually. So I'm assuming it's related to that. Maybe not, but
yeah,
generally it's booked within 24 hours of me posting on our story about the cancellation.
Ooh, listeners, that's a huge takeaway from this episode. Callie just gave you some great info as if someone does cancel, and I don't care how large your Instagram following is. It could even be your personal Instagram, your personal Facebook. That is a great way to get that, you know, short, maybe very quick turn reservation taken care of because someone sees it. They're sitting on the couch watching Netflix with their partner like, hey, we can go here this weekend. Like, never underestimate putting that out there to friends, family, or your following. And you might be able to get that booked. You said most of the time it's within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. You're like, okay, we were probably not going to have anybody. And now just it takes you how long to post that. And then don't have to put it on your feed. You can just put it in your story or you can hop on and just show your face and say, hey, we have a cancellation. Who wants it? And show the open days. No, that's a great, great recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do have the swipe up. So I can like, suppose we have an opening and then immediately swipe up to our Airbnb listing.
So good. So,
makes it even more convenient for people.
Yeah. But if you don't have the swipe up, I think it can be just as.
Oh, for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, have your link to your website in your profile, which that's another thing I wanted to lead to, Callie, is like, good for you. Was it always something you wanted to do is have your own landing page that you own, not send people first to Airbnb. So if you can go to aframerants.com, you can see all of their products, i.e. their homes, pick which home you want, and then it'll lead you to Airbnb to the transactional side. But was that always something you two wanted to do? You knew you needed to do? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, that was pretty early on. I think we did our website definitely before we had the first one even listed. Because I had seen other people doing that with their properties and it just felt more professional.
Yeah.
But I mean, eventually we do want to provide like a direct booking option. We just are not there yet.
Yeah.
So it's still on Airbnb.
Yeah. But this is a great first. And listeners, I think this is great because if you have one property, some people don't, because property management software is not cheap, right? There are options out there that are priced differently, but it's a great first step to have. You have a lot of pages on your site, but you don't even have to have that, listeners. You can have one page, few photos, just get started. And then let Airbnb handle the transactional side. But that way, Callie, I mean, you set yourself up so nicely for when you do grow to, you have this place on the web now that, you know, you could collect email addresses. You can do whatever you want, right? It's your home on the web.
Yeah. Definitely need to do an email list. We haven't done that yet either. So
that's all right. You've
next step.
Tackled a lot here at the forefront. So I just think that's brilliant. That just kind of came to you guys, so I can tell that you're well on your way to building a really solid business here.
Yeah, most of the time we feel like we don't know what we're doing, but we're making it work.
I think you're doing well.
Yeah, yeah.
that's part of the fun, and I think that's a great point. Is we hear a lot of people that like they want to like, you know, listen to all the podcast episodes. They want to watch all the YouTubes. They want to talk to all the people. And sometimes like you really do just have to get started sometimes and just do it for lack of a better term, because you'll be collecting all the data, collecting all of the information and never actually start. So that's actually, I think, a wise thing that you said, like, hey, we don't know mm-hmm. all the things, but we're willing to learn them as we go. And that's the only way you're ever going to actually learn is dig in and start getting after it. And it sounds like you guys kind of had a pretty straight shot launch of like, hey, let's do three more. Let's move.
Build from the ground up.
Yeah, let's build. So talk to our listeners. Just let them know. Can you give them kind of like, anybody out there is getting started, what's the one thing like you wish you maybe would have known than what you know now? And it can be about working with your spouse. It can be about Airbnb. It can be about
new builds,
hosting, whatever it may be. Is there one thing that you're just like, holy smokes, that was a lesson learned?
I think just definitely treat the guests well, even if they can be difficult sometimes. Uh-huh. I mean, people will complain about the most random. I think that's my thing, is I get really caught up on any remotely negative feedback, and it makes me feel bad for days. And it's a learning process to get over that and accept that, like, I'm a person, my husband is a person, our housekeepers are people. I mean, we are not robots. Things are not going to be perfect every single time.
Right.
So accepting the feedback and doing what they say and improving, but not let it like totally ruin your day. And I think part of that was, if somebody is having an issue and they seem really upset about it, even if like somebody's coffee maker broke and we went out and got them a new one that morning, but like, we also refunded them, you know, like $20. I think just like the gesture of, we know that we're in the wrong and we know that it affected your stay, and just accepting that and like giving them just a little bit of money back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think people are responsive to and still leave a good review.
I think we're all responsive to things like that. You know, it's when, yes, the acknowledgement is great, and that's step one. Sometimes people just want to be heard and they know it. So I shared this before at the hotel, whenever I had the most amazing mentors when I used to work in the hotel industry. And that's the first thing they said, is when a guest is voicing their concerns, to repeat it back to them. You know, I understand, Susie, that you're really upset the coffee maker broke this morning. That is absolutely disappointing. I know I love having my coffee first thing when I wake up. Here's what we're going to do for you. You know, and then like, so acknowledge, repeat, and then what's the solution that you can offer them? If there is one, you know, sometimes, you know, like, sometimes it's life. Even the hotel, sometimes we'd have to like walk people to another hotel. So it's going to happen. And you're right. I think it's conditioning yourself to know that you're human. And those things are,
I think that's a really good advice, because it can bring you down. Like, you're like, ruins your, if you're at dinner with your family and someone's complaining, yes. It like ruins your dinner. And then it could, like you said, then you're like that guest, you're kind of, I like to call it on tilt the whole rest of their stay. Mm-hmm. You're just like, oh no, like what's going to happen? Is something going to happen? And you kind of have that pit in your stomach, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the whole,
we've all been there.
Yeah. But I think that is also something, Sarah and I don't know, it seems like recently we've been getting a lot of like, whether Facebook or Instagram, of people like really not understanding, like, they're just taking the highlight reels of short-term rentals online and they're voicing to us like, it's hard.
I think right now, more people are trying short-term rentals than before. Like before, you either had people who stayed in Airbnbs and people who stayed in hotels, unless it's a vacation rental. But now with post-COVID, people are giving that whole Airbnb thing a try, and Airbnb is upping their marketing. So we're getting a lot of people who have never short-term rented before, and it's almost like we have to train them.
Yeah, explain what
to expect, right. What not to expect, all those sorts of things. So that's a great, great tip, Kelly.
Yeah, no, I think, how do you work through that now? If someone's there, they're upset about something, something's broken that clearly you can't forecast that's going to break or not meet their expectation. Is that what you do? Is your first thing, A, try to fix it, and then B, think about a financial refund? What's your thought process that you and your husband go through for a guest complaint?
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. And then after we've addressed it as much as we can, then to move on. Like we've had, you know, our fire pit wouldn't start, but they message us at like 10 o'clock at night. It's like, we could go over there and fix it at 10 p.m. And we have done that. But at a certain point, you have to draw a line in this is our business and this is our life. Especially since we're doing it full time and it's just us managing it. So I think just having a little bit harder shell, like we obviously do everything we can to remedy the situation. And then beyond that, trying to move on, because inevitably it always happens when we're at, you know, a date night or we're
always
like out of town, or we had a family like, or a couple like totally trash a cabin and we weren't in town. Like we had family visiting us in Houston and had to like, Dan had to like drive back that day, fix it. Cause there was like drywall damage.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, just we've had like, that's like, other than the cabins like burning down, that was about as bad as it could get because there was so much damage. But
yeah. No, and that's,
once that happens, you kind of are
you
like,
get a really
okay.
hard, you really get a really yeah, tough skin.
And you know, listen, we've been dialing in a little harder in our messaging to our guests. Like if you message us regarding a non-emergency after 7 p.m., we're going to address it the next day. You know, a non-emergency. So if you're locked out, obviously we're there for you. Like we'll figure that. But yes. I've told our team too, like if you see it, like don't let it, yes, look at it. But other than that, let's start respecting our time and our rest ourselves. And as long as you get that expectation, the guests, like it's not an emergency, the fire pit's not going, we get that it's a damper on your stay. Yes. Yeah. But that is the beauty of a short-term rental is that mm-hmm. a family runs this place and, you know.
And that stuff happens at hotels.
Absolutely.
Like you could be at a hotel and be like, oh, hey, sorry, the pool's closed today for you know, maintenance. And you're like, what? And they're like, oh, yeah, like, well, we have to fix
sorry.
It. Sorry. Yeah. It's like, you know, that's where sometimes, you know, you do have to think up back to like times where you have been at a resort or at a hotel and things haven't been.
And you've been inconvenienced.
Yeah, you've been inconvenienced just because like, it's life, and sometimes things like that happen. But yeah, the thick skin is definitely something that is acquired. It doesn't just happen.
That's a really great idea.
Yeah. Well, so. Callie, thank you so. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we go, or maybe and also remind them where how they can reach out to you, or at least see your beautiful cabins
and stay with you.
Yeah.
Come stay with us. Check out Fredericksburg if you're not familiar with it. First of all, like we love this city so much. Town. And we're on Instagram at A-Frame Ranch and our website's aframeranch.com. And thanks so much. This is really fun. This is my first time doing anything like this.
Oh, yay.
No. Hey, that's the other thing, listeners. We want to let you know, like hosting will take you down this path that you could have never, ever, ever imagined. And we can say that for like every single person that we've met. And Sarah will laugh right now because I'm like tearing up because hosts don't know. Like she's on a podcast. She didn't know that she was going to do that when she started building these.
You're working with influencers.
And she's like, she's got her daughter on her lap right now, you know, in her Elsa dress doing in their new house. So it's awesome. All right. Well, Callie, thank you so much. We just saw your husband peek in too. So tell him we said hi.
Good work.
Awesome.
All right,
thank
listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
Thanks, sure. Callie. I'm Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.